Father, we thank you, Lord, for this hour. Our Father and our God, we worship you, Lord. We want you to speak to us, teach us yourself, Lord. Give us the quickening of the Spirit so that we can know that the Lord has been speaking to us today. Let your name, Lord, be glorified. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Today, the Lord laid something on my heart that I would like to share with all of us. The last time I was here, I talked a little bit on something that we call prophecy. And something amazing happened. After I started talking the preambles when I was about to start the sermon, because I was recording this, I wanted to put it on the internet. Then something made the recording stop. It almost looked like supernatural, because to me that message was very important. That was the message about the mark of the beast and how this thing is creeping upon us. And I said, Lord, there's no way I can re-record that, but I'll more or less say one few things that will lead to this new message that I believe the Lord is going to help us to learn something from that. Let me make sure it's recording. Amen. Praise the Lord. So open with me. Today I'm going to talk on what we can classify as the fear of God. In a little way, it's going to be called the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Open with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Amen. Most of my exhortation is more like teaching, so I'm not too charismatic, but if you listen closely, you will learn something. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13, it says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. That is, instruction is our life, especially instruction from God. Amen. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Amen. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, this is another good saying that I love to always remind myself of. It said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. The last part of it, lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen? That is the section I want to talk about today. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And I pray the Lord will bless our heart with this exhortation. It's more like an exhortation. But about the rapture, the Lord is coming soon. We are going to go and meet the Lord in the air. If you don't know about that, you can read it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That the Lord himself will descend from heaven and we are going to go meet him in the air. But to lead to that, we've got to come up in faith, growing up. And there are many things we call rapturing faith, things that we build us up to that level of anointing. One of them is that fearing God. And this fear of God I'm going to talk about is something I think I've talked a little bit about that in some earlier sermons, almost a year or 2 years ago in the other building, where we talk about if the Lord gave you an instruction, we human beings have a tendency of judging what the Lord says by our own way of life or the way things are in the world. And I'll give an example of what I meant. In that sermon, I said it this way, for example, suppose you are told by your boss or your daddy, and he said, all of these things, gather them up and burn them up. We have to take them to the trash and burn them. Don't save anything. You can give that instruction to a young lad, a son, or even all these guys that help you to do yard work and so on. When we human beings give instructions like that, the fellow you give instruction to, we as human beings, we normally take it not on a face value, as we call it. This guy can take all those things and take it to the dump hill And he was told to burn them. And as he's burning them, he saw a wristwatch. Wow, look at that. And he's walking. He threw out a calendar. So everything seems to be well. Why is he burning this? It will be the first thought that comes to his mind. And he's going to pocket that. And we normally justify ourselves. This is not just some people. Almost every human being will do that. We will justify ourselves with that and say, well, this thing is being destroyed, so why not? Why not? I can as well just keep this. That is our human tendency. But don't do that with God. That is the part of it that I'm trying to lean to when I say, lean not unto thy own understanding. Amen? Lean not unto thy own understanding. See, the Lord led me through, over the years, through a series of events to teach me this, as we want to walk with the high of holiness. As we say we want to be like Jesus. He said some things on our level we can think it does not really matter. But on God's platform, those small little things, they are so important that we shouldn't take it lightly. That is exactly what this is all about. And so when we are dealing with human beings, your parents, your co-workers on the human platform, we get so used to that, and when we begin to deal with God, we transfer those type of laxity or lax to his instruction. That is what he's trying to caution us about. Because if we are going to go with the ancient of this, if we are going to go away with him, all those tiny little instructions we think are tiny are not tiny. You can read the story of Elijah the prophet. When he was about to be taken out of this planet, which is what we all assume is coming to happen, we are going to go and meet him in the air. The very common thing is God started leading him. He had instruction, go to that city. And we didn't know what he was really told to go do in that city. And he went there, met with some guys, and another instruction came, go to another city. And why was the Lord leading him up and down like that? It is preconditioning. Actually, he has been preconditioned before that. And that is what God is doing with many of us, is conditioning us to obey him. That is all he has been preoccupied with, why the rapture has not taken place yet for the body of Christ. God is conditioning the saints to obey him. And we are not there yet. But this is an example. He just gave us that example of Elijah by recording the last phase of it. Because he said, go here, and he went there. And then go there, he went there. And then go there, he went there. Because God is going to take him away, and he's going to be going with God every time from now on. And if you are going to, and as far as the Lord is concerned, you are my friend if you do what? If you do whatsoever I command you. It's no reverse. It doesn't reverse that. He commands, you do it. That is, those are his friends. He said, well, if you are a friend, I should also be able to tell you something. No, you don't. There's no reverse when it comes to the Almighty God. So you have to now understand what we are saying. When we say, no, when two can two walk together except they be agreed, but his own agreement is one directional. Amen? He says it, you do it, because he is the Lord. So that is why when you begin to put your own judgment and your reasoning to change some things, it becomes disobedience. Amen? So that is what I'm going to point out in some stories in the Bible here to give us what some nuggets, something to take home with us, something to meditate upon. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I said something about the issue of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast that I preached on before. And one thing that I summarized that with is, why was the Lord so particular about this mark of the beast that will come in the end of the world, mark in their hands or in their forehead? And we read Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, where they said, Christ, the Bible said, those that are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have the name of the Father upon their foreheads. You see? Well, that is how, from the vantage of God, this is what God is seeing. The devil is trying to mark the world. So that we don't see as God sees. That is why we have to be just take his word for it. Amen? Take his word for it. Amen. So that in that Antichrist thing, if you, this is not new, it's been going on since the time of George Bush, and now it went silent because they are doing it under the ground, on the background. It's going on. I just got to search something on the internet and I saw that this thing was being discussed in 2006, 2005. I said, my goodness, where have I been? About this mark, because this thing called radio frequency identity system, it was proposed. And if you are not aware of this thing that is already going on in the background in the technological world, they were already using it for other things except human beings. They were using it for cows, they were using it for animals, for the livestock, and also in the groceries. When you go to the grocery, that's what they use to scan. But the technology has been trying to make human beings be marked with this same thing, like an ID card. You don't need to carry it in your pocket. You say, oh, that can be stolen, you can lose it. Especially when things, bad things happen, they try to bring it up again. When 9/11 occurred, that was when it became very serious. Now, every state, this legislation in this Arizona state and all the other states have already resisted it because the federal say, well, we need to go into this direction. And in fact, if you are not familiar, if you have been reading the news, like I try to read the news, which I'm going to talk a little bit about that, this new immigration law that was brought in Arizona, if you look closely, because they put it in the Arizona Republic, all the new bills that they were quarreling about, and the writer of that bill mentioned this same thing I mentioned, that, well, we are not proposing that this our radio frequency ID card should be introduced. We are opposing that, which means it has already been proposed. Arizona is one of them that opposes it. We don't want to put our people through this. But see, just like they did a bill to change this, they can also, many years later, write another bill to bring it in again. So that is what you have to be watching out for. But I said all of those things to make you to see, because the first question many people ask is, why is this so important? It's just on a technology, and it's just this, and what is so important about this? And the Lord pointed out the fact that God sees what you don't see. It's not just a technology this time. It's not just like the card you have in your pocket. He wants to mark the people, put it right on their skin, under the skin, and that has been going on. When they were no more talking about, you know what was going on? The technologies were perfecting it, because I went on YouTube and saw some people who demonstrated in a lab that this thing is not as dangerous as they thought. Because one of the fear was that if you put this chip under the skin and somebody went for x-ray checkup, this thing can explode and burn the fellow and say, well, let's test that. And in a lab, they tried to test it. I saw it on YouTube and said, well, this is some of the engineers who tested that and said, who's going to be the guinea pig to test this thing? The other guy said, no, not me. And they found one of their co-workers who said, oh, okay, I'll test it. So they put the chip under his skin, put her through this x-ray to see whether this thing might be dangerous technologically now. Not talking, but that is not what God sees. God is not seeing the physical harm. God is seeing the spirit behind this. So that is why I'm saying, the reason why I'm bringing this one in today is, do not lean on your own understanding. When we do things, when it has to do with God, what God says, sometimes we don't understand it, we just have to take his word for it. Amen? So that is why I said, I said right now, that has been going on in the background. They are perfecting, they found out, oh, there's no harm. That thing didn't explode, so they could go forward with it. But the government who is going to enforce it is not here yet. The government, that's what the Antichrist is going to be, whoever is going to be the government. And the government is not just the president, you see. Before these things take place, the legislatures, the senators have to agree, every state have to buy into it. Those are the government. So that may not be here yet, and that may be what we are really waiting for. When the right time is here, they will begin to change the bills and the laws, and they will begin to bring them in. But we as believers, knowing that this thing will take place, we can't be like the unbeliever that say, what? What's the big deal about this? It's just a technology. You have been carrying this number on your credit card all along. We just want to put it under your skin. See? God does not see as we see. Amen? And actually, let's read it. In 2 Corinthians, he said, For my thoughts, not in 2 Corinthians, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's read Isaiah chapter 55. From verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen? In anything that God is instructing us, he said, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she's thy life. Anything that God is instructing us, don't try to reason it out with human reasoning. This is just give an example. And I'm using this Antichrist mark as an example, really. That is, we have to don't think of it and say, what is it? What is so big deal about it? Because that is what the world is saying. When the religious people say, is that not the mark of the beast? If you search on the internet, you will see so many arguments. Now, the religious people, we are saying, this is leaning towards that mark under the skin. And the other people are saying, no, you guys are foolish. What is wrong with this and technology? But you see, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. That is just an example. Now, when I say lean not unto thy own understanding, amen, this is where I'm really going with this message, to make us know what is really the fear of God, when we say fearing God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? Let's look at an example of some 2-3 stories in the Bible where God gave an instruction, and we, like human beings, sometimes we just take it lax. Amen? That is, if we don't take it seriously and we don't watch for those instructions carefully, we might generalize it and lose the real meaning of it. Let's take an example of the story of Moses at the water of Meribah, like Moses called it, in Numbers chapter 20. Go with me to Numbers chapter 20. Remember the theme of this message, lean not unto thy own understanding. God does not see as we see. Because when we see this story of Moses, we wonder that, is this a small thing? To us, it's a small thing that the Moses did. But we know the repercussion, but the question is, how does God see some of these things? Why is it so important with God that he's telling us if we want to go with him? Now, this is not like a life and death situation in many cases. There could be life and death situations, but this could be just losing favor, losing the glory with God in some of these stories we are going to read. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, this is the story of where God told Moses, because the people they have done it almost 10 times. Anytime there is no water, they groan and cry at Moses and yell and accuse Moses for taking them through this place to die. So you can say Moses was fed up. In fact, King David, when he was recording or repeating this story, he said they made him angry. They fretted his soul. So in Numbers chapter 20, when Moses was recording the same story, this is what Moses said from verse 6. Well, let me read from verse 1 through 3, 4, 5, where these people were complaining about there is no water. Verse 3. And the people showed with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord? And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us in into this evil place? It is no place of seed, of figs, of vines, of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. So you know they were complaining. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the congregation of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Now, take note of what is going to happen here. Sometimes we think God is angry, and God is not really angry. And that perhaps is what Moses ran into. Because each time he will fall before the Lord, God will come down and say, step aside, let me wipe them out. And he will be standing in gap. And God will say, okay. But this time, God didn't do that. This is what God did. And the Lord spake, he said, the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Well, that is simple, straightforward instruction. But say, we have to watch every word that God speaks. That is all our duty. Watch every word that God speaks. Don't use your own judgment. And this is what happened to Moses. So Moses had that instruction, which we just read. Simple, straightforward. Does not look, it didn't look like as if God was angry. And verse 10. Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto whom? Unto them. What did God say? Whom did God say he should speak to? To the rock. But he was not speaking to the rock, he was speaking to the people. Which perhaps he could have said something, but what he did next is the really problem. And he said unto them, verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Well, that looks, well, we got the result that we are looking for. But you see, God was not satisfied. And what did God say? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not lead, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So they just lost their own reward of a glory to get them into the land. But we are just looking at that simple instruction, so simple, and our own environment, our situation, a thought could come to us, the circumstances about us, model the instruction, and Moses just did what comes naturally to him. And he yelled at the people, which perhaps was not the problem, but he forgot that he was to speak to the rock. He forgot that he was to speak, and he smiled. So that is one example why we say, why is that so big deal? No, it's just a small mistake to us, but to God it's not a small mistake. That is what we are trying to point out. When the Lord told me about fearing God, let me give an example how he showed to me in a vision one day. In a vision now, if I found myself doing something in the vision that I naturally will not do physically, then he showed something like that in that vision. I saw myself in a dream or a vision doing something that I wouldn't have done physically. Then I woke up and I said, oh my God, my spirit is still having such a problem. And I declare a fast. Because of that vision, I declare a fast that day. At the end of that day, the Lord spoke to me that now you are fearing God. I said, Lord, that's what he called fearing God. Because what? I tremble at his word, whatever he showed to me in that vision. He called that fearing God. I said, Lord, okay. So that's why I'm passing that to you. If you feel you have done something wrong and you tremble at his word, he called that fearing God. So another example, let's give another example here, is the story of a young man in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Like I said, it's a simple instruction that if we don't take any of those instructions seriously and watch it carefully, we may use our own judgment to just make it, model it up, and then very soon our judgment is a little bit off from what God actually wanted us to do. And then we don't get the result we want, or we may lose a glory. Let me give you a quick example. Suppose somebody is praying for the crowd, a group of people and they come to church and you're praying for them, and then the Lord, Holy Ghost spoke to you and said, take this particular one outside the building before you lay your hand upon him. You heard the instruction and you say, oh, okay. And you grab the young man, say, come follow me. Everybody stay here, and you're taking him outside to the outside of the building. And as you step out of the hall, you saw that there was rain. Of course, you could have been here, you didn't notice there was rain. And then you have rain, and then another voice said, well, just take him into the conference room and pray for him there. You see how we have the tendency of just follow that second voice. Oh, conference room is okay because I shouldn't step into the rain also. So you go to the conference room and now pray for him and nothing happened. You begin to wonder, oh my God, you told me to pray for this fellow and you have just disobeyed. Amen? You say, well, gee, but God should have known that I shouldn't get sent. But God knew that there was rain when he said step out. So that is how we use our judgment, our natural tendencies to change some of the things that perhaps God instructed us, and we just violated his instruction in an example like that, and it will not happen like we thought it should happen. So that is the type of example and the type of things we have to consider. When he said it, you have to take good care of that instruction. So take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life, that instruction. Watch for the words that was used. Amen? So I just give you that example. Here is another story here in Joshua chapter 7. Now this becomes life and death situation for this story of Joshua chapter 7. We know the story, we're just pointing out the key things in this example. This is when the Israelites were to go and destroy Jericho when they came to the land. They were to destroy the city of Jericho, and the instruction was for them not to take anything out of that city. The instruction said, destroy everything, man, woman, little children, cattle, and only the gold and things that are made of gold should be kept for God. But destroy everything all. And in Joshua chapter 7, and there was one man among the soldiers, his name was called Achan, from the tribe of Judah. In Joshua chapter 7, I will read verse 1. Say, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Sirah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So, this is his own story, why he took one of the accursed things. In verse 20. If you don't know the story, you can go read the whole chapter. After they destroyed Jericho, everything happened just like they said. They destroyed Jericho. This young man, one of the soldiers, actually did it secretly. And took one of the things he saw they should have destroyed. And he kept it for himself. Took it to his house, buried it, hoping that when the war is over, he will be rich. You can say, oh, that's lost. But it's happening all over the globe among us if we are not careful. Among women, even among believers, if we are not careful of the little instruction. Like I just mentioned, if you are just destroying something in your house, burn it up, a natural woman tends to save what you think you should save, that your father said burn up. But if it is God Almighty that said burn up, we just take the same behavior and we more or less we do the same thing. That's why we are giving one another instruction about this, to be careful of the instruction that comes from the Lord. Wash it jealously. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now this is the story. After they have gone to Jericho and they destroyed Jericho, everything was secret as far as the boy was concerned. Now they were to go to another small village over there and destroy it. Ai, the name of the town. The next town they were to go, and they said, well, gee, you don't need to send everybody there, just send 3,000 soldiers. So the small people, and they should be able to wipe the place out. And 3,000 soldiers went there, and many of them were killed by these people of here. And Joshua thought, something is wrong. And that was where they found out that God has abandoned them, and they were in trouble right now, and Joshua fell down before God. What will happen when they knew that This small town has defeated us. They all go to just round us up and wipe us up. And God now told them that somebody has disobeyed. And let's read the story. After they found a guy by casting lot before God, verse 20 of Joshua chapter 7. I read from verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua. After they have found him, Achan. So Joshua said, "My son," verse 19, I pray thee glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." So Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels with, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the heart in the midst of my tent, and the silver underneath it." So they went and found exactly that was so. They got it, and now they have to destroy this young man. But what is the importance about this? It is a simple instruction that they should destroy everything and don't save anything. And Joshua told all the soldiers, and they took it seriously, but you see, this young man didn't take it seriously. You may say, well, what is so important? This thing they are to destroy, and he just saved something. That's why I gave the first example. And God didn't see it that way. We can even use our own reasoning. You know, when God said, destroy those things, burn them with fire, you know, some demons, they run from here to there, and if they see that this one is saved, they can attach themselves to that thing that is saved. He just brought a host of demons back to the camp. That's our own way of thinking of it. Maybe that's what God sees that we cannot see. Amen? So don't take those instructions lightly. Praise God. Well, let's take one more example. It's the story of King Saul. We all know this story of King Saul. He was made to be king. The first assignment God gave to him was to go to a place called Amalek and destroy the Amalekites. God said, now it's time to avenge Israel of the Amalekites. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is the charge to King Saul. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Well, the instruction is straightforward and clear. And verse 5 says, And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telehim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And some came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. So he went against this group of people to destroy them, and they started destroying them just like the word of God said. Amen. Let's read verse 11 here. When it came to verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, now let's see what Saul did before we read what God told Samuel. So verse 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Avilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. So they just used their own judgment. That's what I'm saying, the judgment. We are using our own judgment to change the word of God. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ told the Pharisees that through the traditions, they made the word of God of none effect. This is an history story of what happened to King Saul. Now, verse 10, came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments. Now, I want you to underline that statement. God said to Samuel that Saul has not performed my commandments. The same word. Now, let's see what Saul said in verse 13. When Samuel came to him, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Amen? So this is where I meditate on things like this. He said, I have performed. God said, you have not performed. Think about that. King Saul said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But the Lord told the prophet, he has not performed the commandment of the Lord. Like I just give an example, take this fellow outside and pray for him outside, and the fellow got to the door there and there was rain, and another voice said, step into the conference room. And naturally, yeah, rain, so I would have done exactly that, step to the conference room, and God would say, he has not performed the commandment. And this fellow would have said, I have performed. I took him out and I prayed for him. But when you analyze, he said, oh, he said outside. So that is what we are dealing with when it comes to God. Because God is seen not as we see. That's why I say, lean not unto thy own understanding. Amen? Praise the Lord. Lean not unto thy own understanding. And when the Lord said the fear of the Lord, it is in those little instructions that we see how we should fear the Lord by taking his words so seriously. Take those words so seriously. Amen? Now, by the time they argue back and forth, Saul realized that, oh yeah, I didn't do it. And this is what he said. And I want us to watch against that also. The second voice, like I said, the same voice could be internal. And that's what God has been dealing with human beings. We that want to be like Christ. Those internal voices coming from us or from spirits, other spirits, that just want to twist it a little. It came to Eve on that day. He said, didn't God say you should? Did God say you shouldn't eat? He said, well, God said we should not eat this one. We should die. He said, you will not surely die. The voice can come from the outside, it can come from the inside. But you have to recognize, take fast hold of instruction. Amen? Keep her for she is thy life. Now, this is what Saul finally confessed. After they argued back and forth, Samuel in verse 22 said, as the Lord, he said, we took this thing just to sacrifice it unto God. That's his first justifying what they did. And we, all of us, always try to do the same thing. We try to justify from our own thinking. We want to justify why we did it the way we did it. Verse 14, Samuel said, I've performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And he said, oh yeah, those ones. Verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel started pointing his tongue and said, as God delights in sacrifice than just to obey his instruction. Verse 22. As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord to obey his bread and sacrifice. And he went on. Now verse 24 is what I'm trying to point out here. And Saul said unto Samuel, now he's going to repent. He said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people. I feared the people. That is the second voice that I'm trying to warn us about. This other voice could be from the people. It could be from your best friend. It could be from your internal voice that just come to twist what God just said. He said, I fear the people and obey their voice. Because I fear the people and obey their voice. So that is the dilemma. He was, why do you fear the people? Because he wanted to please the people. He is the king. Everybody wants to, like you talk about these politicians. John McCain, they will say he was maverick. But when he saw he was going to lose, he turned non-maverick. He wanted to please the people. It's always like that, human nature. Even in things of God, we can't do that when it comes to God. That's what God has been training us, every one of us that wanted to be like Christ. He wants us to be like Christ in not yielding to whatever voice. And the voice always will come very subtly, very gentle, very subtle. That is, the change won't be that much. It will be just a little change. But God said, watch the instruction. Amen? Watch the instruction. Because it may not really be life and death. It may just be you just lose the glory, the promise, the reward. And those things, but those are the things we are all shooting for. We want that reward. Amen. We want to be like Christ. We want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That is when we have done everything that he can say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So for us to be well pleased by the Father, we just have to watch his instructions very carefully. And that's what he called the fear of God. Fearing God is watching what he said and taking heed to it. Amen. Let's hear the rest of that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. And hear the rest, according to what Solomon said. He said, this is the summary of the whole crust of God's instruction. The conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Amen? So when God is talking, he's all simply talking to us. Fear him by simply watching his word, his instruction, and taking it seriously. You see, this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Young people, if the Lord gives you all of those simple instructions that look like where everybody is doing these things, but you are not to be everybody, you are to be unique. That is how you are fearing God, when you say fear God. You may say, well, you know, these things that's on the internet, all of them are running after and they're looking at all those ungodly things. You can say, the Bible said, this is ungodly, and I want to be unique. That is how you show that you are fearing God, by simply taking his word very, very seriously. The same thing with any other thing that we adults, that we can hear the instruction that say, just like I just give an example of, that could be a minister of the gospel to pray for this person. And he asked. And if you look at examples of our Lord Jesus Christ, there are cases like that. That there was a story where they brought a blind man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said the Lord Jesus Christ took this blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And I thought about that. Led him out of town? Oh my goodness, I don't have time for that. Many of us won't have time for that. But why would the Lord do that? The Spirit said, lead him out of town. You may say the town is not as big as Phoenix, maybe. But it is out of town. But he led him out of town before he did what he did. And we know the result. So when we hear instruction, we better do it to the letter if we want the result that we all expect. But that is actually what he called fearing God. The God said it, we do it just like he said. And we don't try to change anyone. And the voice of doubt, reason, opposition, we always come from the air, from the enemies from above, to make us shake, to make us want to do exactly the opposite or just a little bit deviation from what God said. And that's why we have to take that verse very seriously. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. That is, that's instruction. Watch it carefully and say, he said I should do it this way, not the other way. So let alone go. That is what we mean by fearing God. When we take first hold of instruction and say, keep our key is thy life. Amen? That's all I'm going to say today. Let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. Let's stand up and pray and talk to the Father who sees what we cannot see. Let's stand up and pray. Talk to him who sees what we cannot see. And he loves us so much, but many of those things that we talk about, they are not life and death, like this guy that stole something and he caused some other people to die, of course. And they have to destroy him out of the camp in their own case. But all those small things, it simply makes somebody not to get the result he wants to get. Then you are not getting closer and closer to the King of Glory that we want to be closer to. So talk to the Lord yourself. Just say, Lord, open my understanding. Put that fear of God in me to be able to just take your word very seriously. Every instruction, every command, everything. When the Bible says love one another and forgive, it is to be taken very seriously so that you can say, hey, somebody offended, I want to run and go say, I want to settle. Why? Because the Almighty God commanded it. Let's settle it right now, please. And be like a fool for Christ. That is when you say, you fear me then. That is what he called fearing God. Talk to the Father and say, Father, help me to fear thee in trembling at your word, in taking your word very seriously, so that I can be like Christ, who is our Father, our friend, and our example. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this few exhortations, because we do not see as you see, Lord. We do not know what is not revealed to mankind, that only God sees it. Sometimes God searches the heart and can tell when we are leaning in one direction to bring us back on the right path. Father God, open our understanding, open our eyes, and guide our heart, Lord God, in the days as we walk with thee, as we love to walk with Jesus. Teach us how to walk with you, how to fear thee by trembling at your word, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. You guys come back and sing some songs of praise.